What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
It's 1:37 a.m. in the sixth circle of hell. And you're listening to Night Call.
Welcome to Night Call, a podcast to keep you company during those strange days and lonely nights. I'm Emily Yoshida. I am here in New York City. With me on the other line in Los Angeles is
Molly Lambert, and also with Emily in New York this week is
Darcy Wilder.
Special guest Darcy Wilder. We've been trying to book her for a long time, guys. It's true.
My schedule's airtight.
We had to go through a lot of people.
Yeah, Darcy's playing the role of Tess this week. Yeah. Tess is out with some jury duty. Good luck to you. We just burned a cool 5 minutes trying to decide what the right
what
ring of hell was.
Of hell. Yeah,
for this to be in, we were like, Emily was like, we have to get the one that we would want to be associated with.
Yeah.
So we went with hearsay, I believe.
Yeah, because we were just being very shady off.
We were being shady.
So
before the show started,
and you don't want to be like violent where it's murder.
No, I don't want to be. I don't want to own that.
I feel like Emily's been talking about medieval torture and death a lot on Twitter.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, but not okay. Not from a pro perspective, just in a like the, not from the a phenomenon pro of when we stopped doing that.
I've been so into the medieval, the mid, like, the, and never before.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's having a moment.
Well, you know, it is having a moment because it's another thing the alt-right is trying to steal.
What medieval all
Renaissance fairs?
Oh, which, yeah, that's
oh
right.
They,
but I saw that. I thought of you.
Yeah, because that was when we went to the Renaissance fair. Andrew T was like, "Yeah, how is this not like super racist?" And I was like, "Cause it's L.A., so it's like better than you would expect."
Give it another year.
It's a little. I was never into the medieval, and then I've gone to the Renaissance fair a couple times now with our friend Jane Marie and. I liked the Renaissance fair, and I get into it from a medieval torture perspective Emily, what made you start thinking about the Wheel of Death all the time?
Well, okay, so I think I started talking about it because I was watching, because I had seen Unfriended Dark Web, which is, a lot of that movie is about snuff films. And it kind of sent me down a very kind of like,
because that's what the dark web is.
What is the arc of human experience? And like this watching this movie, this like kind of stupid horror movie that has some sort of like, just because of the way it's made, makes you really kind of believe that you could be watching a real snuff film. And like my mind just recoils. But then I just started thinking about how, like, would a medieval person recoil at that? Like, if you're seeing people being dragged down the street every day and torn limb from limb and like broken on the wheel and everything,
I'm
going
to throw in a fun fact I learned for another podcast but didn't get to say, so I'm going to say it here, which is that when Wes Craven was making The Last House on the Left, apparently the actress who starred in it wasn't sure the whole time if it might just be a snuff film because it was so low budget.
Yeah,
and they were like, it's also really dark and rapey.
Yeah, and they probably weren't, you know, up to code as far as taking care of talent and all of that.
That was the thing. They were like, well, it was so low budget that, like, she wasn't sure, and she'd been in some, like, exploitation films before, but she was genuinely a little bit worried that, like, the big finale was going to be that they killed her, but they didn't.
Yeah, good. that kind of. But you know what? I've never seen that movie, and I don't really plan on it.
Oh, it's really good. It's a great movie. it makes you feel real like scuzzy inside, like some of those 70s exploitation movies do.
Sure.
But that's the thing is, like, I feel like everybody goes through a period, some of them lifetime, that you seek out that kind of stuff because you're like, oh, what if somebody, you know, faces a death, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like the first stuff that came on the internet was all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like Rotten.com.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's the internet. You can use it to see somebody dying in a video.
Yeah. Which is what we were talking about last week with Ben's VR experience.
Exactly.
Like, the first thing you do when you have a new piece of technology, like, what's it like to die?
Simulate death.
This brings us to our topic that we wanted to discuss with Darcy this week. Darcy
fanny
is like,
packs.
Yeah, we have a subtopic. Okay, before we get.
We'll start with fanny packs.
How to die.
The main
in a fanny pack.
The main thrust of this episode is this episode is called Darcy's Inferno. It was inspired by Darcy's obsession with Dante's Inferno. We'll get to that in a moment, but first, fanny packs. Darcy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell the world
who
you are?
Boosh on
I'm Darcy pack. Wilder. I'm on Twitter. I'm 333333333333333.
I messed up when I was trying to tell my husband what your Twitter account is.
I just say it's a bunch of three. Like,
I can't believe you know how many threes are in it.
Oh,
but you've said it so many times.
It's nine in the beginning and then five.
Is
and
it
the,
a satanic code?
The code was that I had an anonymous Twitter so that I could get a 9-to-5 job and not have it be traced to me.
Yeah. How's that working out for you?
I quit to be on my follow my dreams of being on Zoolander 2.
Show business.
And I'm on Instagram where I've been doing Hell Month after Ladder Month and Knife Month. And I think I realized you said when you were doing the glass bricks. And I couldn't stop seeing glass bricks everywhere. Now I see ladders everywhere.
Yeah. When did you start doing the themed months? Was Knife Month the first one?
Yeah, because this teen I follow from New Orleans, I mean, it comes from like Stan Twitter and like, you know, the underbelly of maybe anime Twitter. And it was just like, I think taken from a culinary blog, and it was just June is Knife Month. And then they like took that. So then I was like, I'll just post pictures of knives. And then I figured out that I really like a theme. So I picked, you know, the most boring one, which I thought was
ladders. No, that's the thing about picking a theme for your life. Like when I was doing the glass bricks, like at first everybody got into it with me in my life. And then eventually they were like, you have to stop.
interventions.
You're not going to get them all.
Well, I like the idea of having a month cut off where you have to stop thinking about it after that month, because I know people are still sending you ladders, but you're like, ladder month is over now.
I mean, all the comments on the posts are bring back ladders.
This week's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Songfinch. Songfinch is a personalized gifting company that brings stories, feelings, and memories to life through one-of-a-kind songs. With personalized songs starting at $99 and delivered within 7 days, their community of professional songwriters will handcraft the best gift you can give. I didn't know about Songfinch before they sponsored Night Call, and once I learned about them, I was immediately obsessed and told everybody I knew about them because it's such a completely unique way to make somebody's event or birthday, or even there doesn't need to be an occasion, just like have a song written for somebody. It's the kind of thing that you'll never forget. We had a song written for us as part of the sponsorship, and like I feel like every time we have this ad we talk about how much we actually listen to it because it's so amazing. When you opt for the song from scratch option, you actually have the song written from scratch, and you get to kind of get an introduction to your songwriter and give them just some ideas and talking points that you want and a feel for it. It's really like you commission a song. It's kind of incredible. Personalized songs start at $99 and they're delivered within 7 days. And once you get it, your song lives on a personal URL called your story homepage, where you can listen to the song, share the song, read the lyrics, learn about the songwriter, all of that. So use promo code CALL, C-A-L-L, for $20 off your personalized song from scratch on songfinch.com. That's promo code CALL, C-A-L-L, for $20 off your personalized song from scratch. And as always, here is our personalized song from scratch called Night Call by our songwriter, Rich Lowe. It is amazing. Please enjoy.
Freak you out, Emily got the remedy, film and music critic, she could be Capricorns or Virgo, Libra, yeah, we just tell her like it's gonna be.
So yes, once again, if you want to create magic like that for yourself, use promo code CALL, that's C-A-L-L, for $20 off your personalized song from scratch.
I was thinking about you and Sailor Moon last night because I went to the observatory. I went on like a journey into my soul.
I saw where your phone died and you had
my phone died, yeah. And I went down the wrong side of the mountain. And then I don't think it's hitchhiking if you convince people to let you take an Uber with them. But
it's basically
hitchhiking.
Form,
yeah. I was like wearing my fanny pack. That was the whole thing, actually, yeah. Was that I downloaded my stuff into a fanny pack, so I only needed my, like, so I didn't bring my wallet. And then I was, like, down on the other side of the mountain, and I was like, oh, I didn't bring any of my stuff. So, like, I have is my wiles.
May I ask what type of fanny pack, perhaps? Is there a brand?
It's a beautiful fanny pack I bought at a store in Echo Park that is a gift shop. They had them outside on the models, and I said, how much is this? I think it's like fake East Bay. It's like East Bag.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
$7, yeah. And it has multiple. I'm going to take a picture of it and post it on the Night Call Instagram later.
Yeah.
This is a fashion podcast also. Emily, could you
tweet
tell
your pack.
Could you tell our listeners about your outfit today?
Oh, it is. Yeah.
My outfit was described. I thought that it would make Molly happy just because I was wearing both my Jack Lantern shirt, which I got in Tokyo. Or no, I got it in Osaka. I got all my good shirts in Osaka. And then my Dodgers hat, which, because it's just a horrible day today in New York, it's very hot and miserable. And I was telling Darcy that the hotter it gets, the more I just start to dress like a child.
Yeah.
Just wearing like what I imagine a kid wears when they go to a theme park so that the parent never loses track of them because they're wearing like a bright color and like a hat.
I like that style too. I realized I was dressed as Ness from Earthbound recently. Fanny packs.
Yep.
Yeah. So fanny packs.
Yes.
Mine fits my phone charger, which I find helpful.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, is this the one right here? Because I can see you have a lovely black Herschel.
Thank you.
Fanny pack.
I got this in the mail today.
Oh, nice.
But I've been using, my friend Chrissy gave me a fanny pack in 2016. And I was like, this is perfect because it's an Arizona iced tea fanny pack. That's the pattern of, you know, the green tea with honey.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
And I tried to wear it and I was like, the zeitgeist was not where it needed to be.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah. You could rock that. And
oh,
would,
so I've been using that and it's great. But
who told people to wear fanny packs over their shoulders?
I really dislike it.
You came out against it hard, and then you were like, this is my most controversial opinion.
And I felt so guilty, too, because people were tagged in the comments. And I was like, it was a moral judgment I cast on them. And I don't think, like, I try to avoid those. But it's just, like, it seems really cloying to wear it around your shoulder.
You have to,
like, you're trying so hard.
Something heavy in it in order to do that, otherwise it'll just fall off your shoulder. I only know this from experience of trying to wear, I will admit it on the air here, I tried to wear a fanny pack over my shoulder once at Coachella. Oh. I don't know why exactly. For some reason I thought that it wasn't going to work around my waist with whatever I was wearing. So I was like, I'll get it out of the way. And
it changes the silhouette.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I had some kind of long
sense.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I also tried in 2015, I impulsively got a JanSport one that I since disposed of because I was like, when are fanny packs going to come back in? And I was trying it out and I was like, why did I spend $20 on this dumb bag? And I tried it as a shoulder bag and I was like, well, this will never work. And like donated it. But I just think it's like trying so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I wanted a shoulder thing, I would just have my backpack, but put
nothing
in it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like a fanny pack is for when you don't want the shoulder weight of a backpack. But I hadn't noticed it yet. I feel like it was only in fashion magazines at first. Mm-hmm. And then it's like one of those things where they're like, models off duty do this thing. Wouldn't you like to be like a model off duty just in the street wearing a fanny pack in a weird way?
Yeah.
And then I saw it for the first time in the wild last week at this podcast, because the podcast studio is on Melrose, which is where all the hypebeasts in LA hang out. And I saw like a lot of teenagers doing it.
Hmm.
And
doesn't
I was like,
just fall off, and don't you just look like a fool all the time when you do it? Like,
doesn't
it just slip
off
constantly?
It just was part of the look. I think there's maybe like nothing in it. Maybe that's the trick.
That's even harder because if you have a weight in it, then it'll kind of at least dig into your shoulder a little bit and hang there. It's like wearing an empty tote bag; it'll always fall off my shoulder.
Yeah,
but if you have something in it, it holds it there. I don't know. We should probably move on and talk about hell. But
speaking of
it's
hell,
an adjacent subject.
Yes.
Well, there are no teens out today because it's too hot even for the teens. It is so...
Oh, yeah. There's a heat advisory out there today.
So goddamn hot. Yeah. The heat advisory is until 8 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
So nobody's outside. You don't want to be outside. I'm very happy to be in this studio.
I was going to try to go out to L.A., but my brother was there, and he was like, save yourself.
Yeah, now's not a good time. It's on fire, or will be at any moment.
It will be soon.
For months. But speaking of that, Hell Month.
Yeah, I was going to go with Fire Month, but then Jessica Hopper saw the fire post and was like, is this Hell Month? And I was like, that's so much better. So I did an adjacent pivot. Also, it's because I feel my friend just handed me a copy of Dante's Inferno when we were hanging out.
Have you heard the good word?
So I feel like I'm like, am I taking his thing? But it's like he did not know it would become an obsession in my life. But now there's a Yale podcast that's just a lecture on Dante's Inferno.
Ooh.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a tweet recently where you were like, everything I do, I have to do until I'm good at it, and then I have to do it until I die?
That sounds like something I have said before. Where I don't know if I ever get good, but I get really obsessed and then I'm done with it.
I related to that a lot. I can't get into things shallowly. It's either like all the way.
Yeah. Or, I mean, or I lost last month to Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is
you
also.
You didn't lose it. You improved it. You yeah. enhanced.
You enhanced.
I did my study.
Seasoned. Like, would you say you're like a casual Dante scholar right now, this month
I'd
at least?
I'd say I dabble.
Yeah, you
yeah,
dabble.
Yeah, I'm a beginner dabbler. If it was a yoga class, it would be maybe the community yoga class okay. that's open.
Yeah.
But beginner. But
you give
like,
a donation at this point because you feel like yeah. you don't want to just...
I mean, it's so cool. I was watching a Dante documentary. I found out all about that in Florence. It was like the Guelphs. Oh my gosh. I have no
the
idea.
The what? The Guelphs?
Some part of them were like, let's follow the Pope. And the other part were like, let's follow the Emperor. And then Dante was not on the right side.
Uh huh.
He was exiled. Which I guess happened.
Yeah.
In more often.
Exiled, but not. Wait, which side was he on? Was he on the Pope's side?
He was a white Guelph. And then the.
Sounds so made
the
up.
The black Guelphs one. So he, like, the emperors were like, more about secular law, and then the Pope people
yeah.
who are like super Christian, I think Catholic or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You know.
Did he go with the Pope or the Emperor?
He was on the side of the Pope, but the black and the white were split, where the white was kind of more anti-authoritarian, where I haven't read enough about this, but they didn't like the current Pope.
When you finish
so they
the
challenged
lecture series.
The Pope. I'll do another one and I'll recite it. But like they didn't like the current Pope, which seems kind of like anti-authoritarian, like to doubt a religious leader
right.
in medieval time or
right.
Middle Ages
and
or whatever.
Back
it was.
When the Pope was still seen as the actual hand of God here yeah. on earth.
So was he exiled from Florence?
Yeah, never to return.
Well, guess what? The Italian couple that gave me a ride in their Uber last night were from Florence.
Ooh, it okay. comes full circle.
Dante.
Have you watched any of the Dan Brown movies? I don't know why I said that first instead of read the Dan Brown books, but watch the movies.
I don't know. If,
I also like that you said off. The Dan Brown movies instead of the Da Vinci Code.
Well, I couldn't remember what it was called. I was like, it's Dante's Circle. Dante's.
I just had the harsh realization that the Da Vinci Code is Dante's Inferno adjacent. And it's a little upsetting.
No, it's okay. Because, like, Christian mysticism is the most fun part about Christianity, right?
Yeah. I think that's why I started getting into Dante. Like, noted scholar Jeff Rickley handed me Dante's Inferno, and I was like, oh, no.
Because
this is my new love.
Yeah.
It's because we're the counterforce dark enlightenment. We have to study all the texts in order to come at it from the complete opposite angle.
Well, I started to like realize I was on the brink of a rabbit hole, and I don't want to bring this up or get too deep into it right now, because I can't really. But just like reading the thing about how now they think like the QAnon people are like Italian. They were like it's born of like this Italian anarchist like tradition, and then a novel was written around like 2001 or something about it. It's called Q, but like whatever.
This sounds interesting.
Yeah. I want to know all about this, but then I was like, I can't.
I feel like I'm going to get into that in like 3 years.
Yeah,
where I'll be like, guys,
we're going to get into it because QAnon is going to be the leader of America.
Oh my
well,
god!
That, but now they're saying that it's
injected.
It's, now there's a theory, like even among people who like are more adjacent to it, that it is just a giant troll job by
it's weapons. All a troll. That's the whole thing about
no,
it.
No, but like that it was planted as a
wait by leftists,
yes.
though, and anarchists,
yeah.
instead of just
but
like one
to
of
make
their
people
own
look
trolling.
Crazy. Which
oh,
is
man, there's too many layers to all of
yeah.
these things.
That's why That's why I was interested in this, though. It's like, oh wait, they pranked like 8chaners. With something based
no,
on like.
No, that's what we have to do. We have to out troll the trolls.
Yeah.
We have to counter troll the racist trolls with like. I mean, Darcy, obviously, you've been a part of weird Twitter for a long time. as have I and Emily, I guess. Like, we're all adjacent to...
I've been an admirer from afar. I don't
know that I could
ever
say I was... We're all adjacent to weird Twitter, and there was a point at which, like, weird Twitter, some of it split off into the alt-right.
Yeah, or, like, the... having the same jokes, but saying it's ironic, and then mm-hmm. it's just, like, oof.
Yeah.
Right. Which is how, like, Vice paved the way for that.
Yeah.
And then a person whose name literally. I won't say that I hate literally is a racist fascist now. So
and ruined a whole line of shirts for everyone. It was the first time. Like, everyone always wore those shirts. And then I saw one in a thrift store and I was like, finally, it's, oh, no.
Yeah,
and so I can never wear it. It was $20.
Well,
which is
that's,
like,
it's not the first time those shirts have been. This is their brain. It's like a 80s thing. It's like an 80s hardcore thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the first time that the Fred Perry shirts have been used as a fascist branding. You'd think that they'd go for something that's already tainted, like just Hugo Boss stuff or whatever, but
yeah, like
it's
something
so
on their side
dorky
already.
That they just like having a uniform is so dorky.
Wait, have you seen their initiation videos that are so dumb? Like, they just get like lightly punched by each other. It's like a weird,
it's like the softest fight club.
Yeah.
I like that's like one of those things where I'm just like, no, I don't want to see it. It's like Faces of Death. I'm like, ew.
Yeah, you can never unsee it.
Yeah,
I don't want to see it. I don't like, I mean, I saw them in real life and I felt like physically repulsed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. Speaking of stuff like that.
Speaking of hell, it all comes back to hell.
Speaking of hell.
We have a night email this week that we want to read. And as always, if you want to give us a night call, email, text, whatever, you can reach us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com or 1-240-46-NIGHT.
We're going to do a 2008 episode coming up soon. So leave us all your questions and emails about your thoughts and memories of 2008 and the 2080s.
It's truly, truly my last summer. Anyway. All right, so this is an email from Brendan. First-time caller emailing because it's expensive from a foreign place. Oh, really? Does it really cost more money to call from Canada? I can't believe I don't know this. Anyway, long-time listener, shout-out girls in hoodies. Thank you. I was thinking about the ghost-heavy early podcasts, and I was wondering if all the monsters and ghouls of the world fought, wouldn't ghosts win at all? Are there seemingly immortal demons, zombies, mummies, vampires, the career of Mel Gibson, do at the end of the day have a weakness or something to defeat a ghost? How do you defeat a ghost? Avenge the ghost in real life? That would be exhausting for everyone to do, and they could still mess in your mind until they vanquish their foes. Says,
Thanks
for the pod. Fraser, Brendan from Canada. That was Fraser is like in place of sincerely, which I appreciate. Yeah.
Yeah, also Brendan Fraser.
Oh.
Fraser has a greeting, though.
Is Brendan Fraser Canadian?
I don't know.
He seems like he could be Canadian.
Like he would be. I think he
He's
might
like
be.
He's like too
a
nice.
Little you're just thinking of that because didn't he play like Dudley Do-Right?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I guess that's
Canadian Ranger. Okay, so how do you defeat a ghost? Given everything that we think we know about ghosts, which.
I like how they started it with sort of a Monster Mash angle of like. There's a fight between all the ghosts and monsters. Who's going to win? And that they were just jumped right to ghosts are automatically, obviously going to win.
But I feel like ghosts. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm wondering if ghosts ever. I don't know if they're competitive because they seem like they haunt and they're just like for sport.
Yeah, I don't think
like,
that they really have like a militaristic bent. All ghosts are ghosts for very personal reasons.
Well, from what I understand, from what I know about ghosts, if a spirit doesn't, you know, ascend to heaven or go down to the depths of the inferno, then maybe it's like they come back to Earth to haunt until they achieve some goal, is what I imagine.
Yeah, I mean... I feel like when I think of like a bunch of ghosts banding together to do something, it's like very much, I think it's on shaky ground. Like even like Haunted Mansion, when they all get together to have a party or whatever, I don't know. Do you think the ghosts would party together? I feel like they'd all be loners.
maybe they try, but they like, Like in Casper, the three brothers kind of hate each other. Yeah. But they're like, ugh, we're like, who else?
Yeah.
But
that's what an Interview with the Vampire is like, too. I think just like immortality, you have so much more time to get sick of people's personal quirks. Yeah.
And they're not going anywhere, so there's no scarcity of like,
right.
Oh, I'll just spend
scarcity.
The next.
I guess what I'm saying is that I question that this fight would include ghosts in the first place.
So it's zombies.
Zombies,
yeah, who's in the fight?
Mummies, vampires, and then a joke about Mel Gibson. But, I mean, I feel add werewolves.
Frankenstein's monster.
What?
Werewolves. Yeah, Frankenstein's monster's in there.
Well,
all of the universal
monsters.
Horror creatures.
No.
The creature from the Black Lagoon.
No.
Is this the letters canon, or is it, like, is the letter canon, or are we doing the expanded universe?
It's not specifically about universal monsters. It's like all the monsters and ghouls of the world. I think of this as being like mythical, like classes of creatures that have existed in different, like in within, I guess, mostly Western mythology.
You're making a Game of Thrones out of this.
I am. I'm thinking of them as like house zombie, house mummy, house vampire.
No. They're not coordinated. You're thinking, that's what I think Darcy's saying. It's like, I don't know if the ghosts are unionized. I think they come independently.
While I'm not sure on the definition of mortal plane, I think that the ghosts don't exist on a mortal plane. Is that I might not be using this correctly.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, they might.
Cool.
I think
they're
maybe
not
they
physical
exist on
beings.
Different planes. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
like
maybe
an
they
airy because you can't kill them. You
they
have
can
to
opt
just
out of being here, which I feel like is the biggest. I guess that's why Brendan thinks that they would win is that like there's nothing that binds a ghost to this plane.
Except their emotions.
Right.
But no, they're haunted.
That's why you gotta mess with their emotions.
They have to haunt someone. They're haunting someone because something didn't go right in their life and they have to come back and they're trapped on Earth until they resolve it.
I mean, so they're already fucked. Like, that's the idea of ghosts is that they've already lost in some way. They've been cursed or something. I mean, I guess the same could kind of be said for vampires and zombies, but I don't know.
Well, you know who is a great villain are the Mario ghosts.
Yeah.
Emily's spirit animal.
Yeah.
There's also Pac-Man ghosts.
Oh, those are terrifying.
Yeah. Shifty eyes.
Oof. But from personal experience, I know that ghosts can only be asked to leave. You know? You can't destroy
them.
Wait,
go on from personal experience.
So
like
I'm
diplomatic.
Terrified of ghosts. When I was staying in a guest room, at my uncle's guest room, and his friend was like, she stayed in it when I was away, and she was like, oh, it's beyond haunted. I think there's a portal to the dark universe. And I was like, cool. I get nightmares every night, you know. And what's reassuring is that a ghost can never take possession of your body unless you give it the okay. Like a spirit will not, like you have dominion over your body and your,
right.
you know, so as long as you are firm in that.
Mm-hmm.
So to get, I've done a lot of the smudges. You can also have some chants on. I chant on for like on loop for like
Wait,
a while.
Like Gregorian chants.
I downloaded a Tibetan Buddhist monk album.
Whoa, okay. Some throat singing.
So I get really into things.
Yeah.
I guess the best way to get rid of a ghost is a salt burning, which is like sea salt, and then you put it in a thing and then you put like rubbing alcohol on it. So I tried it. It did not go great. My fire alarm went off. And then
what does that smell like?
Oh, you put an essential oil in.
Okay.
So I put like cedar.
Okay.
So it stunk of cedar in a way that was no longer enjoyable. Like now it's like when you spill perfume and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Right. Or like too much incense.
Yeah. But then a psychic held my hand and was like, you don't have any like ghosts in your apartment. And I was like, because I did that? Or did I just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Huh.
So now I'm cured, but ghosts
can be
asked to
leave. But did you have an experience with the ghost where you're like, oh, this is a problem and it needs to be taken care of?
I've never seen one.
Okay.
I've had like, I get spooked.
Yeah.
And
Go
I
on.
Had, you know, you just, you get a shudder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I was in the haunted room or the room that was a portal to a darker dimension got like nightmares every night. And I was just like, I couldn't, it was just like not a great summer. I had like kind of an identity crisis where I like dyed my hair blonde, but in a bad way. It was just like something was off. But maybe I was just like 20.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. Like, well,
maybe the portal to hell was inside you.
Yeah, all along.
I was going to say, you know who else had a portal to hell in her house, apparently?
Who?
Marjorie Cameron, our fave.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Marjorie Cameron.
The Bay Marjorie Cameron.
Patron Bay of Night Call.
Yeah. She's.
But a cool thing about hell on earth. Is like all of the stuff that people thought was like the opening to hell, like any volcano, and then just seeing lava and being like, that is a river of fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
like I've never really meditated on openings to hell.
Sometimes when Los Angeles catches all on fire, like it does.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just like. It looks like hell.
It smells like hell. It feels like hell on your skin.
There was a fire that I feel like everybody remembers where it was just like the hills.
2009.
Yeah, the hills are on fire. I was working all day and people were like coming into the grocery store and asking, like telling us about how the hills were on fire. And then when I finally was like driving home, I was like, oh, it looks like that part of Fantasia that takes place in hell.
It looks crazy.
And it just like that, like life is continuing while that's happening is like the craziest thing.
Yeah, you still had to go to work and stuff. I was living downtown, and so I had a really good view of it from the roof of the building I lived in. And people would just like go out every night and like have drinks on the roof and watch the city burn. Like it was so insane. And like
some real
there was also that
core.
Thing where it felt like there was like ash in the air kind
there
of
there was my parents like whenever there's a fire in the valley, like they, you know, sometimes there will just be like ash will like snow down and then everything's covered in this like little layer of ash. Friend of the podcast Caleb Horton's family has people in Reading, which is on fire right now, with something called a fire nado. Which is
what
it sounds like. Yeah, it looks like hell. And people are like, okay, gotta go to my job until we get evacuated or whatever. Yeah. Just, you know. Like,
wait until somebody says that it's time to actually panic or evacuate. Yeah.
I would feel personally responsible for putting out the fire. Like, what am I doing?
When it's that close,
Yeah.
Just like take all of your like Fiji water bottles.
So what we're saying is maybe hell, maybe this is hell.
Ooh,
what if this
baby,
is hell?
Do you know?
Dante's Inferno
is
also
the place on
it. It's also like astounding to me that hell is uncomfortable, where it's always like, oh, you always hear like you go to heaven or you go to hell and hell is like hot and whatever. Mm-hmm. Then I read a passage of what it's like, and I was like, I don't want someone, like, breathing on me.
Yeah. Wait, so can you go over what some of the different descriptions of that you've read so far of these different circles are? Like, what are the unique tortures of each one? Because, I don't know.
So purgatory is, like, the chill thing, where it's like, they just didn't hear about Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems just kind of, like, boring. Like, all the Greeks are there.
And babies, right?
Like
unbaptized babies.
Yeah, which is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So,
but they changed that. They changed that.
Yeah.
So,
was the cool pope?
Yeah.
One of the popes.
One of the chiller popes in the 20th century changed that.
It's like,
I guess they have a pass.
I know that the lustful, like the cheaters and whatever, they get flown around in the skies. You know, like that would be uncomfortable because they can't stick to one thing.
They're just permanently flighty, literally. It's like a pun or something.
Yeah, it's all like everything pun. Is like an ironic death.
And how so I like Dante just meditated for like a long time on like the fitting punishment for them. Hoarders are forced to push boulders.
Yeah.
Facing each other and enter into a fierce battle.
Oh, because they're not allowed to keep any of the boulders.
Oh.
That would be
hoarding.
Is the
boulder supposed to symbolize your worldly possessions? Like the weight of them?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Or like working for something that is nothing.
Right. The Sisyphean aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know what I like is the pre-Christian underworld.
Yeah.
You like the pagan stuff.
I do like all the pagan stuff.
Well, I mean, it's half of the Christian traditions anyway are just pagan
right.
traditions.
Yeah.
All
the same stuff. But I always liked the Greek underworld, the Egyptian underworld.
Okay, we're going to take another night call. This is a night text. As always, you can text us too at 1240469 if you prefer to talk with your fingers. Why is that sound?
Yes, talk with your fingers, a normal thing everyone says.
Yes, definitely. We do it every day. So let's just roll with this one. I'm just going to read it all the way through. This is a night call about bugs. A night call back about bugs, I suppose. I almost ate a caterpillar that I steamed with my broccoli last night. It was the very last bite of my meal. I survived. The bug did not. Later, my girlfriend and I got into a fight. It was pretty sad. The fight was not about bugs. I'm reading Rachel Kushner, The Flamethrowers. I'm very into it. What are some of your favorite novels written this? Also, The Flamethrowers is great. It's one of the best.
I'm so excited to read it.
Yeah, it came out a few years ago. She's got a new book. I can't remember if it's out right now or not, but she does have a follow up coming out.
Yeah, everyone's reading her, and I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever almost eaten a caterpillar in a salad?
I've almost eaten other bugs.
Yeah.
My dad made me Mapo when I was 12, and there was an unfortunate incident with weevils.
Wait, what? Mm.
Weevils are the grain bugs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
had an experience like that once with a granola bar and a moth.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, real gross.
Yeah.
This is the thing. When you guys were talking about bugs and bees and stuff when I was away, you and Tess, Molly.
Yeah. We went real buggy.
I mean, you guys love bugs, and I have to say I would love to be so chill about bugs, but I am not.
No, I'm not chill about them. I just respect the fuck
right.
out of them.
I guess I respect them, but like I have had an insect thing. My mom, who I know is listening to this, can attest. I hated bugs with a passion. I can deal with them a little bit better now. But there was a moment when I was maybe 3 or 4 that I kind of remember, but there was a fly that had gotten into our car and we were on the freeway. And I took out my seatbelt and tried to jump out of the car as a 3-year-old because of a fly in the car. I could not deal with it. But I think that – and I've always tried to get to the bottom of what I'm actually – upset about or afraid of with bugs, and it is always the thought or the fear that a bug is going to crawl into my mouth or into my nose. Like
right.
when I'm camping and I'm like freaked out about bugs that could be around or in the general vicinity, it's not like that they'll get on me necessarily yeah. unless they're stingy or bitey type bugs, but that they will crawl up my nose or in my ear like with earwigs or something. Like that kind of thing is what really – for some reason, I'm preoccupied with that at all times. So this is my nightmare. This our night caller has described my nightmare.
So it's fear and respect.
I guess
like Molly, but there's fear there.
I just don't want them inside me.
Oh. You know that thing at the Natural History Museum where it's like what the grass looks like, really gigantic.
Yeah,
like a millipede.
Yeah,
that to me, I'm like, what if they were big? At least they're small.
Yeah.
What if they were big?
Well,
there's
deal with
roaches.
Be.
Like roaches are horrible. I'm so terrified of them. And then there's the big ones that the water bugs.
Yeah.
Right. Again, I'm like, I'm grossed out by it, but I'm also like, hey, like they deserve to be here. They exist, and so do I. I don't want to kill them unless I like have to, unless it's them or me, which it sometimes is, you know.
Yeah.
But one of the other night calls we got, which I thought this one was going to be, was about millipedes. And it was about how somebody had killed a millipede and felt really bad about it and then learned about millipedes and that they, like, eat all these other bugs
Ooh.
That you don't want. And so they were like, actually, like, house millipedes, like, they can't do anything to you. And they, like, eat all the other bugs that you actually don't want more. But I also had just killed a millipede. So I was like, man. And then I don't know. I'm just like... it's not their fault they have many legs and we only have two, and so we think it's weird that they have a lot of legs, you know? Like, that's most of what I think creeps us out about it, right?
Yeah. Are they using all of them too?
Yes, they totally are. That's what's so crazy.
Crazy. Also, didn't you say that there was some sort of interspecies connection with, like, ants protecting something else?
I watched this show. Everybody should watch it. David Attenborough's Natural Curiosities. It's all about, like, biological adaptations. And that was one of the things, was bugs that hide out in other bugs' hives and, like, trick them into feeding them, basically.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Grifter bugs.
Grifter bugs. And one of them was like a caterpillar or something that hides out in like a beehive, and the bee, and like does this little wiggle, and it's like the same thing a bee queen does. And so they're all like, oh, we must feed the bee queen. And they feed it, and
they
it gets all fat.
They trick them through dance? That's incredible.
Oh, it's incredible. It's that's what I'm saying. Just like, I got in an argument at a party this weekend with somebody who was saying they were like a humanist, like a speciesist, you know, like that they think humans are the best species. And I was like, that is insane to me. Humans are the worst species.
Yeah.
And
awful.
Like,
yeah,
there's so many other cool things happening, like caterpillars tricking bees into feeding them. And the other thing was about the Death's Head moth, which is that moth that's in the Silence of the Lambs poster.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That looks like it has a skull on it. And it was about how, like, everybody in medieval England thought it was like a bad omen because it only migrated during certain times, and then all these, like, you know, skull bugs flew in, and they were like, they know. But apparently they were like, we don't know for sure what the marking is, but what we think it might be is that it, like, mimics a bee face, and so it, like, tricks the bees into thinking it's a bee.
I thought it was going to be the mark of the beast. It's like, I'm sure the moths have 666.
Well, that's what they were like, it's not, like, it's just a bug. Like, we see it as a skull because that's how our eyes are trained to see things like that. But the pattern is maybe really meant to, like, look like a...
It's not for us.
It's meant to look like the face of a bee head on.
Yeah. Whoa.
I mean, when I got my dog, I wondered for so long. I was like, why have I trapped this small animal? Like, I had those thoughts when you get stoned and stare at your hands. And I'm like, wait, what is this? And I guess it's just like interspecies. Like, we just vibe.
Yeah.
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 But it seems so weird.
With dogs than with Death's Head moths. Yeah.
Well, that does it for this week's Night Call. We're out of time this week, unfortunately.
Yeah, thank you so much, Darcy.
Thank you, Darcy, for joining us, finally.
Big fan.
Yeah. Give us a Night Call, as always. 1-2-1-2-4-0-4-6-NIGHT. Also, we don't say this enough or, like, really emphasize it, but leave us a review. Like, really leave us a review. We would like to see more... like maybe you want to write us a Night Call, but you don't really have a question. Channel that energy into writing us a review, and we would be really, really grateful. And I check them all the time, especially recently. I've been looking at them. So yeah, leave us something
and give us some stars.
Yeah, give us some stars.
5 bugs.
Tell us how many bugs out of 5 you like us.
How many circles of hell?
Thank you to Ben Hosley, our producer this week. And thank you also to our sponsor this week, Songfinch. We will see you next week, everybody. Thank you.
Thank y'all. See you in hell.
See you in hell.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn. Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.